So in the evidentiary process, we ask for an evidentiary panel assignment. The panels consist of either three-member panels or six-member panels, two-thirds of whom are attorneys and one-third are public members. Then we file our evidentiary petition, conduct discovery, depositions, and so on. And then we either settle it or we go to a hearing and we get a judgment. District court, currently we ask the Supreme Court for a judicial assignment outside our judicial region. There is a proposed rule change that would allow, that would change that to have the administrative judge in each region assign a judge to hear the case, preferably from outside the county. So we'll look to see if that, I think that's probably going to pass, but we'll wait and see what happens. We file a disciplinary petition, conduct discovery, and it proceeds as any other district court case would. The rules of disciplinary procedure are generally we follow the rules of civil procedure unless the rules of disciplinary procedure provide for different provisions. One place that it does is in discovery and disclosures. They are much more limited in evidentiary, mainly because the others really don't apply. So then if you want to appeal, evidentiary judgments are appealed to the Board of Disciplinary Appeals, and district court judgments are appealed to the Court of Appeals, and then both of those can be appealed to the Supreme Court. Okay, so that's the whole process. Cut and dry. Generally, a case from beginning to end, if you have to go all the way through trial, takes 8 months minimum, up to a year, sometimes longer than that. We do have a directory rule that states that they want it to trial within 180 days of the date the respondent files an answer. I will tell you that rarely happens. People need more time to conduct discovery, they get continuances, that kind of thing. But that is a goal. Okay, we do have new sanction guidelines. These are more in line with the ABA sanction recommendations. So if you have ever looked at the factors that we used to have, those have changed. And it's rather convoluted. You have to actually look up on a table to see what rule was violated and then see what sanction guidelines apply. These read kind of differently. I'm going to give you an example for neglect. It might say a private reprimand is generally appropriate when the respondent does not act with reasonable diligence in representing a client and causes little or no actual damage. Goes up to public reprimand when they don't act with reasonable diligence and cause injury to a client or potential injury to a client. The more severe, then when you get to suspension, they knowingly neglected the matter and caused potential injury or injury to the client. And then disbarment may be appropriate if an attorney abandons its practice or causes severe injury to a client. So it kind of escalates from there. There are also aggravating and mitigating factors. And it was interesting earlier when Juan was talking about the lawyer's creed, which is not enforceable. However, one of the factors that is considered as an aggravating factor or can be is an uncooperative conduct during the proceedings. So if you have an uncivil lawyer on the other side, a respondent, generally that comes back to bite them when you go to a sanctions hearing, because you can put on all that evidence, and I'll talk later about some of the evidence we've actually put on in some of those cases. Oops, I went backwards here. Sanctions are pretty self-explanatory. I do want to talk about a little bit about the grievance referral program. This is an individualized program available when there is minor misconduct. The respondent can meet with our grievance referral administrator. They devise an individualized program. If there is substance abuse involved, they will address that issue. If there are mental health issues involved, those will be addressed. If it's law practice management, communication, they try to get at what caused the misconduct so that it doesn't happen again and give the attorney some skills to provide better legal services. Now, I don't know why this keeps going. If they successfully complete the program, the grievance is dismissed, totally dismissed. If not, then it goes into litigation. One other point about sanctions is we have ancillary sanctions, which can include restitution to the complainant, and it can also include our attorney's fees and expenses. There is no statute that allows, except for that, for attorney's fees and expenses for the respondent attorney or for us to get them in any way except as a sanction. Okay.